Hello, my friends, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Practical Parsha Podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, and I hope you are well. Before we begin this week's episode, I just want to wish you a Mazel Tov and myself a Mazel Tov, because this week, God willing, in Shul, I am going to be sponsoring a Kiddush after davening in honor of a Siyum, which means a completion of a tractate in the Talmud. And additionally, I'm making it in honor of the podcast as well. Really, when I reached 100 episodes about a couple months ago, I wanted to do something then, but I didn't have the opportunity. And now, I'm celebrating. So wherever you are in the world, this Shabbos, I ask of you to make a l'chaim in honor of the podcast that I hope you enjoy each and every week. And it's an important thing, I think, for us to remember that the things that we do and the accomplishments we have, it's very important to celebrate them and appreciate them. Because if you're not going to appreciate the things that are important, how are you going to remember and know and keep them in the forefront of your mind that they're important? So it's important to celebrate the accomplishments that you have. And for me, and I think we can all celebrate together this accomplishment. Thank God that I've gotten to over 120 episodes, tens of thousands of downloads, and relationships with people all over the world. So before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, would like to wish me Mazel Tov on this another year of podcasting or the tractate of Talmud that I'm going to be completing, God willing, feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomokohn@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. This week's Torah portion is Parshas Vayakel. And additionally, aside from the regular portion that's read every week in the synagogue, we are also reading a special portion in addition, which is Parshas Parah, which talks about the mitzvah of the red heifer. Now, just to give a quick overview of the weekly Parsha, the Parsha begins with the commandment of the Shabbos, to keep the Shabbos. It continues with the contributions of the Mishkan. And as we mentioned on the last week's episodes, Hashem gives Moshe Rabbeinu, gives Moses the commandment to build the tabernacle, and he gives him specific instructions on all the utensils and all the altars and the different parts of the tabernacle, how it should be built, as well as the vestments of the Kohanim, the priests who would serve in the tabernacle. Now, the Parsha this week shifts focus after the instruction of the temple, of what is needed to be built. The actual construction begins with Moshe delegating to the Jewish people the job of building the tabernacle, of building the Mishkan. And the Parsha really delineates for us how it was built, the different utensils, the altar, all the different parts of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, how it was accomplished and how it was done. Additionally, the Parsha describes to us the leader of the construction, the foreman of the building of the tabernacle, which was Bezalel, and how he was filled with divine wisdom to get the job done. The first idea I want to share with you today takes us to the beginning of the Parsha. The Parsha begins with the commandment to observe the Shabbos. Now, the commentaries ask, what's the connection from Shabbos, the commandment to keep the Shabbos, to the building of the tabernacle? It does not seem to be related one to the other. And we know everything in the Torah is exact. Every letter, every word, everything. So the juxtaposition of the two topics of Shabbos and the building of the tabernacle, how it was done and who did it, there must be some connection. Now, in previous years, I've discussed this question, but what I want to do this year, on this episode, is to really focus in on one point about Shabbos, which is the day of rest, and in essence, the other 6 days of the week. So going to my question of what the juxtaposition is, what's the connection between these two mitzvos or these two commandments, the commentaries explain that Shabbos is discussed here to teach us an important point, that even a building which was for the sake of God, which was totally to serve God, does not override the commandment of Shabbos. That even though the Jewish people were about to do something totally for Hashem, totally for God, that Moshe was still telling them that Shabbos still stands and you have to stop your work on Shabbos. Now, I want to dive into something a little deeper here. Because in essence, we know there's a day of rest, Shabbos, right? God rested on the seventh day, and therefore that's what we do as Jews. We rest on the seventh day. And that resting attests to the fact that God created the world and rested on the seventh day. Because when we rest on the seventh day, we're showing the world that we believe in God, that he created the world because we're following his commandment to rest. We're mimicking him. Now, one thing which I thought was very interesting, it says in the verse, Sheshes yamim ta'aseh melacha v'yom ha'shvi yiyeh lachem kodesh shabbos shabboson la'ashem kol ha'oseh v'melacha yumas. It says, on 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day shall be holy for you, a day of complete rest for Hashem. Whoever does work on it shall be put to death. Now, what I want to focus in on is on this fact that 6 days you shall work and the seventh you shall rest. I saw it brought down that when a person works, it's work is only of a purpose if it's towards something else, right? Why do we work? Do we just work because we want to make money? Or are we working for a more higher cause, right? So most of us, if we ask that question, or it's asked of us, we'll say we're working to support our family. We're working to put food on the table. But if you dig deeper a little bit more with many people, and you say, okay, so once you have those needs, why do you continue to work? Why do we continue to work? And we'll say, okay, to make more money. And then what are you going to do with that money? And go on vacation. And then, you know, you make some more money and so on and so forth. And if you really drill down to it with many people, there's not necessarily a good answer to that question of why they're doing what they're doing. Why are they working? Why are they going through this rat race to try to accumulate as much wealth as possible, meaning past what they need to support themselves, right? And what the verse teaches us here, and this concept of Shabbos, is that work that doesn't have a sacred purpose to it is really loses its value to a certain level. And the pasuk, when the verse teaches us, 6 days you shall work, on the seventh you shall rest, there's an important concept here that gives us a frame of reference, that labor and work is only of value if it could have a sacred aspect to it as well. And when we're working towards something, right, or towards a cause, or towards a purpose, so then it comes out that the work that we do is sort of sanctified as well. And I think that's signified in the verse when it says, 6 days you shall work, and the seventh you shall rest. Because when we work for six to rest on the seventh, we're showing that the work that we're doing is towards that rest, towards that spirituality, because the day of rest is a day of spirituality. It's a day of connecting to Hashem. And I think this idea is not just for, you know, a idea about Shabbos. Sure, Shabbos exemplifies this thought about making our work, you know, towards a sacred purpose. But I think it's all of our, you know, everything we do, that is it towards a certain goal, a sacred goal, a spiritual goal, a higher goal, right? And sort of reminds me of the story they say about the fisherman and the businessman. There once was a businessman who was walking on the beach, and he sees a fisherman who's just sitting there and fishing, watching the sunset. And he tells him, like, why are you sitting here fishing all day? Why don't you go to work and catch more fish? He's like, and then what am I going to do? He's like, then you'll get a boat and catch even more fish and make some more money. He's like, and then what am I going to do? He's like, and then getting upset and irritated, the businessman says, you'll buy a whole fleet of boats and hire more people and catch even more fish and you'll make even more money. He's like, and then what am I going to do? Then you could retire, sit on the beach, watch the sunset, and go fishing all day. So the fisherman turns to him and says, isn't that what I'm doing already? But the point is that we have to have a focus of what we're working towards. If it's just working towards more work, so then what are we doing? But if it's the 6 days we work and the seventh day we rest, so our work is pointed towards something holy, towards something higher. And it's not just work, like I said before, it's not just Shabbos. It's the purpose of why we go to work every day. Are we doing it so we should just have money, or are we doing it to support our family, a higher purpose, so we should have money for good causes? Should we be able to use it to have a spiritual purpose to it, to help people, to make ourselves better, to make the world a better place as well? So I think this is a message we see in this week's Parsha, and it's a very fundamental idea when it comes to the commandment of Shabbos about resting on the seventh day. Because when we work the 6 days and we rest on the seventh, it comes out that the first 6 days are pointed towards that spirituality and holiness. So we're not just doing the mundane, it's towards a goal. And the work itself takes on a spiritual nature and gets uplifted as well, as long as there's that goal and purpose that we're working towards. The second idea I want to share with you today takes us a little further into the Parsha, where the Torah portion discusses of how the people actually built the tabernacle, the utensils of the tabernacle, the different parts of the tabernacle, and the vestments of the Kohanim, the priests. The verse says as follows, Vayavo kol ish asher nasa libo v'chol asher nadva rucho oso, hevio es trumas Hashem, lemelechas o'amoed, l'chol avodoso l'vigdei HaKodesh. Every man whose heart inspired him came, and everyone whose spirit motivated him brought the portion of Hashem for the work of the Tent of Meeting, for all its labor, and for all the sacred vestments. Meaning people stepped up to get the job done, to create these articles of clothing, to create the utensils, that the Jewish people came together and they volunteered to create what God had commanded them to make. Now, I saw a beautiful idea that's brought down. The Ramban, he states that the Jewish people, they had just left Egypt. And what were they doing in Egypt? They were slaves. And they didn't have any professional skills on what they could, create these special designer clothing. You know, if you look at the details of the clothing that the Kohanim, the priests, wore, they're extremely intricate. How the different utensils of the tabernacle were, they were very detailed. The Torah details tells us exactly how they were, and you can see very clearly from the verses that it's very intricate artisan work. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, he asks, how did they know what to do or how to get it done? They had the instructions, but how did they have the know-how? They were slaves in Egypt. They didn't have the ability, they didn't have the training to necessarily do this. And if you look at the wording of the verse, it gives us an insight to what the people did and how that helped them to succeed. It says, Vayavo kol ish asher naso libo. And each person whose heart motivated him came. What does that mean? It means that the people, when Hashem, when God gave the commandment to build this tabernacle, to get these utensils and the clothings created, they didn't have the experience and the know-how. But yet the people, in their desire to serve God, they heard this commandment from God. And when Moshe came to the people to get it done, they had such a desire to do what God wanted and to serve him that they just stepped up. They stepped up to the plate. And they didn't have teachers to train them, but they just stepped up. They volunteered. They had this burning desire in their heart to accomplish. And because of that, because of that ability, burning desire in their heart to serve Hashem, they stepped up to volunteer. And the fact that they stepped up to volunteer, it unleashed the potential that lay dormant within their souls and within them that they didn't even necessarily know existed. That, you know, they just stepped up to the job and they were put into the position and they realized they had these abilities that they never even knew existed beforehand. I think this is a very powerful message for us. You know, think about this for a second. I'm sure you could think of situations where you were thrust into a position with no experience, but yet you ran with it and you were successful, you know, and maybe you would have thought that you never could have done this job, but it got placed into your lap and you ran with it and you did well. I definitely can share that sentiment with different projects and things that have come my way. And it's a tremendous message for us that when we have an opportunity to step up to the plate, or maybe we see someone that there's a need for someone to step up to the plate, we shouldn't, you know, we should believe in ourselves. You know, don't let lack of initiative or lack of experience necessarily hold you back from trying to accomplish. And, you know, if you think about the very successful people in the world, the very, very wealthy people. Now, obviously, we do say on this podcast, and that's our outlook, is that success ultimately is in the hands of God. But we have to put our effort in. And if you look at people who are very successful, most of the time, I would say overwhelmingly, they had to put in tremendous, tremendous effort into their endeavors. And I think when that is something we have to take as well, when there's opportunities for us, you know, to grow, to learn about skills within ourselves that maybe we didn't know existed, we should go for it. Don't be afraid to go out of your comfort zone. And I want to take this over to the spiritual side as well, because many times we lack, you know, that confidence and that, not just the confidence, but we don't see in ourselves what we really could accomplish spiritually. We limit ourselves. Maybe we hold ourselves back for different reasons. We say how we're not a good Jew, we're a bad person, and we hold ourselves back. But we have to realize that we have the ability to strive. You just need that initiative. You need that desire to go forward and to push forward. And I think that's the message of this week's parsha, one of the messages, that the Jewish people, even though they didn't necessarily have the experience to be artisans, but they wanted to serve God. They wanted to do it. They had such a desire to do it that they stepped forward and they applied themselves and they had success. And I think it's a message for us in our lives in general, and especially when it comes to our spiritual endeavors and our Judaism, that we shouldn't be held back by the past. Maybe we're afraid to go out of our comfort zone a little bit. We should be able to go a little bit out of our comfort zone to push ourselves, and we're going to see success and realize the hidden potential which lay beneath us. There's so many things in myself which I could think of. You know, I was living in a bigger community, and I moved to where I am now in the Philadelphia suburbs, and I joined a smaller community. And I could say very confidently that who I am today, you know, 8 years later, and the different abilities that I feel I have, thank God, is because I was put in a situation where there wasn't other people to get certain things done. And in a way, some things fell to me and certain things I volunteered to do, but because of those experiences of either being put in the position or stepping up to volunteer and maybe going out of my comfort zone, I found reservoirs of strength and ability that I never knew existed. And I think it's a message for all of us to take from this week's parsha. The last idea I want to share with you this week takes us to the end of the parsha, where the Torah describes to us how Bezalel took charge of building the Mishkan. He was the foreman to see that everything came to completion. Now, it's very interesting. The verse states, Vayas B'tzalel es ha'oron atzei shitim amosayim v'chetzi arkoi v'ama v'chetzi rachbo v'ama v'chetzi kamoso. That B'tzalel made the ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits its length, a cubit and a half its width, and a cubit and a half its height. Rashi explains that when it says Vayas B'tzalel, it tells us that it's singling out that B'tzalel was the one who made the ark. What does that mean? It says Lefisha Nasan Nafsho Ala Malacha Yoisem Mishar HaChachamim Nikreis Al Shemo. Since B'tzalel gave of himself more than everyone else to build the ark, so therefore the Torah gives him the credit as if he built the whole thing. He did it. He completed it. Because he gave over of himself to such a degree, more than everyone else, he gets the credit. Now, the question I'm going to ask you is really going to see if you've been listening to the past week's Practical Parsha podcast. Because if you remember, a few weeks ago, I had a whole Devar Torah, which I said over, that really is a question to this verse in the Pasuk. A few weeks ago, the Parsha read that when the ark was made, it says, Va'asisa, that they shall make the ark of acacia wood, right? But when it came to the other vessels, it says it was singular. It was that, you know, it was the commandment that it was for Moshe, right, to get it done, to make it. And the question which I raised then is that why was it that in certain places in that parsha, specifically by the ark, it says, Va'asisa, and they shall make the ark, right? And the answer was is that the ark was for everyone. That's what the Midrash tells us, that the ark, the commandment, wasn't for one person. It was for all the Jewish nation to take part in it. That no one should say, I built the ark. Rather, it was the commandment for the entire Jewish nation. Everyone needed to have a part in it. But over here, it says, Vayas B'tzalel es ha'aron. It says that B'tzalel made the aron. Doesn't that fly in the face of what I said a couple weeks ago? Right? So then if you want to hear this question to know exactly what I'm referring to, it's in the Practical Parsha podcast from Parsha's Truma. So that's the question. The question is how does this verse fit with the verse and the commentary and the podcast that I gave, the episode that I gave a few weeks ago? Because there, it seemed like it was for everybody, the commandment. But over here, we're attributing the building of the ark just to B'tzalel. It's as if he did the whole thing. And I saw brought down from Baruch Saratzkin that it's the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson when it singles out B'tzalel over here. It's not a contradiction. The commandment to build the ark was a commandment for the entire Jewish nation. And everyone did have a part in it. But the lesson here, when the Torah singles out B'tzalel, specifically when it comes to the ark, that he did the whole thing, it sounds like, it's teaching us that B'tzalel, he didn't look at it that, oh, everyone has a commandment to do this, so therefore I could just sit back. Rather, he looked at it as if he was the only one who was doing it, meaning he took responsibility and didn't just sit back and relax. You know, there's a story they say about a small town. They had every day they had a minyan. There was 10 people exactly, 10 men in the town, and every single day they had a minyan. Without rain or shine, nothing stopped them. One day, an 11th man moved to town. The next morning, no one showed up to minyan, right? Because everyone thought, oh, there'll be an extra guy besides me, right? There's an 11th man now. There's someone else. But everyone had the same logic. And I think the Torah, when the Torah points out that B'tzalel built the ark, and especially the commentary, Rashi, he tells us how he gave himself more of everybody else. He even though it was a responsibility on everybody, everyone had the commandment to build the ark, he looked at it as if it was his own. And therefore, he took responsibility to make sure it gets done. And I think that's an important message in our own lives, whether it be, you know, getting things accomplished, seeing things through, but especially when it comes to, you know, other obligations, spiritual obligations, mitzvos, a kindness, chesed, when it comes to doing kindness for another. Don't assume that Even though it's on everybody to do kindness, don't assume that things are just going to happen, right? We have to take initiative and look at it as if we're the only ones who are going to get it done. And I think it's a very important idea to have, which we see from this week's Parsha. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, feel free to send me an email at RabbiShlomoCohen, KOHN, at gmail.com. Have a great day.